Couple other things let's try to cover here. I think the last time that I may have seen you in the flesh, shoulder to shoulder, was maybe the Birmingham Bowl, December 2018.
Yes.
What a great day that was.
That was a good group of guys there. That was a fun day. Down at Legion Field.
Have you been to the new, is it Progressive Field?
Protective.
The Blazer? Or yeah. Protective Life, yeah.
Yeah. Yes, I have. I went to, that's where they have the Birmingham Bowl now. I went to see Auburn play somebody there. Yeah, it's an awesome stadium. It's really nice. It's small, but it's really nice. You know, one other great new addition to Birmingham.
What are some, all right, so you and your wife, Lauren, did she grow up in Birmingham?
Sorry, man, there's a...
Oh, I hear it.
Kept thinking this ambulance was about to, like, drive right past me.
If you're walking...
Yes, Lauren...
oh, gosh, I shouldn't even say it. If an ambulance is going by, are you supposed to kind of, even if you're on foot, just walk over to the shoulder and stop?
I think you're just supposed to sit on a bench or, you know... sit on the curb.
Yeah.
Yeah, Lauren grew up in Hoover. She went to Hoover High School, or the University of Hoover.
Yeah.
As they say.
A little bit of turmoil. Maybe I won't talk about it too much here, but I understand there's a new interim football coach.
I just saw that, an article about that, last night, almost like right before I went to bed. And I kind of read through it and was kind of interested in seeing the video, but I didn't get that far to look for it. But
yeah,
I'm not sure what to think about that, especially since, you know, then they go through and you hear from some of the players saying, you know, we love him and, you know, we love those coaches and want them to be our coaches. And it's kind of confusing.
Yeah, I think it's just in those positions in our, you know, if you're a head football coach at a school like that, at a time like right now, there's just so little room for error.
Yeah.
On a personal level, or if it looks bad enough, if it was bad enough, or if it wasn't, but if it appears the way you got to go. It's just no.
There's
no way out of that, but.
Because you know that's probably. Standard practice, and yeah, those players might say, you know, come to their defense and say we want them to be our football coach. They just coach in different ways, you know, but they're also 16, 17, 18 years old and don't fully understand the situation and maybe how that coach could make some decisions differently and maybe why that's I haven't seen the video, but I'm sure it was, I can imagine the type of stuff they were being put through.
Mm. Wow. Real quick here, John. I say real quick all the time.
Sure. I say, that was great. As a director, I say, yeah, that was great. Let's do one more. all right. That was awesome. Let's do just, all right, one more. I promise. I'll say that to kids too, little kids. I promise. Last one. And I have no intention of that being the last one.
Ever. God, I've spent so much time in this episode and barely, like, asked you some of those questions. Like, what the work that you do can be quite tedious. Am I right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Quite, I mean, precision is the name of the game. What is the longest day that you've worked on one project where you woke up at 5 or 6 and you're still working on it at 2 in the morning? Stuff like that go on sometimes?
Well, you know, not at this point. I might have a long day of actual production on set, but I'm not going to go and then, you know, start some editing process into the wee hours. No, but we'll have long days on set of, you know, getting up at trying to be there at 6 o'clock to be able to start shooting at the best light possible. And then, you know, go 12, 14 hours. Just if you only get like, if you can only get one day, then it's going to be a long day a lot of times, but we try to break it up into 2 and 3 days to make it as easy on the crew and everybody else as possible. Cause nobody likes to just go into some grueling pace on something like that. But the tedious part of what I do is, as far as directing a project or being the director of photography, is all in the planning and the prep. I mean, for one 30-second commercial, I could spend 2 months, you know, month and a half, 2 months, just planning every shot, every angle, everything that's going to happen in that scene, where it's going to be placed, scouting locations, scouting the same location 3 times, you know, talking to everybody on my crew and figuring out all the technical needs of the job. And I mean, don't even get me started on the camera department side of things. I mean, that's just, everything is so technologically complicated these days. It takes a lot of people who know a lot more than I do about all of this stuff. And, but I love, that's honestly, that part is my favorite part, even more so than stepping behind the camera and shooting everything. I mean, when it all comes together and it works, and like you pulled off something really fun and complicated that when you first started thinking about it, you didn't understand how it would, how that could work, and it does. It's the best feeling ever. It's so much fun.
Gosh, I can only imagine, where like you're going back a few months and then you finally went. I'm glad you mentioned that, you know, your finished product, when you lay eyes on it before everybody else does, and you know, this is it. And just being able to, I guess, exhale and.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's okay to pat yourself on the back and say, man, I did that in collaboration with this person, that person, but you know, we accomplished this.
Yeah. And a lot of times that doesn't happen for me for like a year. I'll look back on it for some reason, like a year later, and I'll think like, oh, well, that was great. You know, like we did a great job on that. I'm really proud of that. Like I just finished, actually I'm finishing it up today, the region's SEC sponsorship TV spots. It took, you know, I remember starting this project back in the beginning of May, of the concept of it. And, you know, this is like working with all the SEC college athletics teams, you know, football, basketball, baseball, all the teams, and all the different forms of that the concept took shape in, and all the iterations that it went through to where we ended up. It's really funny. I mean, just from where it starts and where it finishes. But you know, I'm proud of it. We did some really fun new things I've never done on a shoot. Just of like working with my grip crew, grip team, and trying to figure out like, okay, I want to get this shot at this angle. What kind of rig do we need to build in order to get the camera where we need it? And then to sit there and work with these guys, and it's like you're a construction team in some way, but with an engineering mindset, and just to collaborate and go back and forth and build this kind of stuff with these guys. It's so much fun and so creative. I love seeing how creative all of these guys and girls get, you know, to pull this stuff off. It's awesome.
I love what you said there about when you're on site and you're recognizing, okay, I want to be at that height. That's where I need to be. How do I get up there to capture?
Yeah.
I really didn't think about that.
I want to be at that height at this specific time of day, you know, for where the sun is going to be, or I want to rig a camera to the undercarriage of this car, because that's the perspective I want to show. I mean, it just, anything you can come up with, that's what production is to me, most of all, is just problem solving and like figuring out how to make a creative vision happen. And like, nobody's scared of it. Nobody's scared of whatever challenge, you know, I might put out to them. Like, that's what I love about it, is like, they will just hear whatever I have to say, and then not going to look at me and tell me, I mean, we can't do that. You know, like, I don't know how we would even start to do that. They just start rolling through different options and scenarios, and it's awesome.
Nobody's afraid to fail, and they're curious about how it could work.
No, and, you know, that's, I used to be pretty afraid to fail in these scenarios because there's been so many times throughout my career where each new job is a little bit bigger than the next, and it's always something that I've never done before. I'm out of my comfort zone a lot, and I'm scared. You know, it's like I will walk into these situations with complete imposter syndrome, just thinking, you know, that I'm supposed to know everything, and there's all these people who are looking to me to have all the answers for all of these technical solves or whatever the case may be, and I don't. And that used to terrify me, and it still gives me butterflies in my stomach or whatnot, but I've come to realize at this point that's what everybody on a crew working with me is for. That's why they're there. You know, I lean heavily on everybody around me because they know more about this stuff than I do. They work on these sets way more often than I do, and they've seen it. There's nothing they haven't seen before. And then there's enough people that nobody's going to let anyone fail, or they're going to do everything they possibly can. As long as you're a nice person.
That helps.
And, create a nice, fun, comfortable work environment. They're going to do anything they possibly can to make it the best product they can make it, the best piece of art that you're trying to create. Hey, I'm walking around through Railroad Park throughout our conversation, and I've probably completed about 5 miles at this point.
Oh my gosh, John!
But I love it. I mean, it's close to it's like a block away from my office, and I do come down here sometimes to get out and walk around, and sometimes eat lunch. But you never know what you're gonna see.
I love Railroad Park. Oh my gosh.
Oh yeah.
Of all the things that I miss about Birmingham, that is right up there.
Yeah.
I fell in love with it right before I moved.
Yeah.
It's really one of the last things that I connected with in the city in what would have been, I guess, the spring of 2013.
That's when you moved?
It was around May. Yeah, the end of May, yeah. but that was kind of my last swan song, I guess, would have been March, April, May.
Wow.
And that was right. Regents Field had been completed, I think, the winter of 2012 or the very first part of 2013. So it was just, I just loved what was going on down there. And that was one thing I was sad about leaving.
Yeah.
So when we come back to visit,
all that stuff started a new vibe. Yeah. Both of those were huge catalysts for kind of that direction the city has gone in.
Well, John, I love hearing your stories and some of your experiences on set there. Everyone's got a different area of expertise, I'm sure, where they've got their own strong suit. So if you've, like you said, feel a little like, oh my gosh, I need to get somebody's advice here, I know exactly who to ask.
Absolutely. And I mean, all that's all just on the actual production side, you know, the prep, planning, and shooting of a commercial or a video. Like yesterday, you go on to the post-production side of things, which is a whole other part of the art of it. And like yesterday, I just finished working with a colorist out of Atlanta who was color grading the whole spot. It's a color science, and color grading is just a whole other art that it's so detailed and so disciplined, but also incredibly creative that I mean, it's hard for me to grasp all of that side of it, but it's one of my favorite parts of the process because everything you shot takes on a completely different life after you go through that process. Especially these days, you can just make anything look and feel however you want it to. And today we're working with what's called a flame artist, to where you go in and you can go into any part of your shots and your spot, and they can, in quotes, you know, kind of paint out little blemishes or do like sky replacements, or if there's a weird sign on a wall, they'll, you know, remove that or motion track something else over it. Like one random example is like one of the football players, I'm shooting from up underneath a huddle, and like they all have their hands in, you know, like you do before, you know, so like 1, 2, 3 go team or whatever, and just like on the bottom of the bottom hand, it's just the kid has like a big cut on his hand. It's just like it jumps out to everyone. It's just super distracting. And but like, you know, that's okay, we'll paint that out later. So like, you know, that kind of stuff is being done today. It's just funny, all the steps of the process that happen afterwards that can go on another for weeks after you shoot things. So
wow,
it's fun. It's always different.
Well, now that, I mean, that you've explained some of this stuff, I think I'm starting to change my tune on the vanity of my show. I think I really want to collaborate with you and have you do something about Dan Time and produce something that is exclusively about me. And I'm walking around downtown and I'm kind of looking up into the sky and I'm in deep thought, and I'm gesturing and I'm excited and I'm talking about everything, and it's just me, and you just make me look
just me.
Grand and great. Now, I've reversed course.
Yeah, we can do that. You know, we can completely rebrand you.
Can I walk along?
Small feet.
Can I walk along like a gravel trail, and you just pick up all the sounds of my footsteps walking along?
No, we'll
path.
Do that later. We'll do that later. A folio artist will do that later. They'll get a box of gravel and hold two shoes in their hands.
What about?
I didn't even mention the whole audio process that we went through yesterday too. I mean, that's my God.
There are just so many different layers.
Yes, it's incredible.
John,
I've had an intern with me this summer, and they came into it not knowing anything. You know, they had worked in done some film classes and such in college, but they're just trying to figure out what they are even interested in. And so I think he had such a great experience. It was so much fun watching him see how all of this comes together, see how such a simple idea turns into, sadly and funny enough, a 30-second, incredibly complicated 30-second piece of content that passes by so fast and that most people can't skip past fast enough, you know. but it's, I really don't even care about that. You know, as long as I have am blessed with the ability to be able to be involved with the process, it's so much fun. And watching him experience all of the aspects of it, and watching his eyes widen as he realizes, oh, we're doing, you know, when he came into the audio booth. Yes.
Look out.
Goodness. When he came to the voiceover session yesterday, he walked in and he heard the voiceover artist first start talking and delivered the first line. I could just tell he had only heard that on a TV commercial or on the radio. And it was just so strange to hear like a real human speak like that, you know, like speak like a announcer voice. Like,
right.
I mean, it was really funny.
That really has to be pretty rewarding at this stage of your career to see somebody
Absolutely.
Like that, just like
he
a sponge.
He reminded me of me when I first started doing what I'm doing. He really did remind me of me a little bit. You know, we're probably about the same age range and the same, you know, level of naivety or naiveness, whatever the word is.
Naivete.
Naivete. I just didn't want to say that. But, you know, funny enough, we actually hired this kid. You know, he took this experience with the right attitude, and really he did not take it for granted. He recognized that, like, not everybody in an internship gets to be a part of, you know, two really large scale productions in one summer and gets to see all of the start to finish process. And I think it just solidified his interest in it. And he was just down for whatever. And so we hired him, and now he has to do it. Now he has to do it forever.
he's pot committed.
He'll never be let out. the blood oath ceremony will take place this afternoon. There's no choice.
John, I think about, you know, I've bounced around a few times, and some people do. Was there ever a point, it probably wasn't, but was there ever a time where you thought, I think I'm going to try something else? Or have you always just been, is there always ways to reinvigorate yourself in this career path?
Well, yes, there have been times where I've, you know, maybe I've gone through like a slump period where there just hasn't been anything, for whatever reason, you know, that's kind of out of any of our control, but a period where there's just nothing, no really interesting work coming through, or that I just don't have like a really
not a lot
invigorating
to
project to work on, you know, and that will get to me over time, you know, if I just don't have a purpose, you know, a purpose that's right in front of me that I'm working on. Like, I kind of struggle with that, as I'm sure lots of other people do too. And that has made me have thoughts at various points of like, if I was going to do something else, what would it be? And I tell you, Daniel, that's one of the things I struggle the most with, is the thought of shifting directions completely. Like, I think I freeze up with it every time I've ever had that thought and don't know where to go with it. So I don't know if other people have had that experience, but yeah, that's a, whenever I've run into that, it's been a really tough thought to have. And then it just, fortunately, it's always resolved itself by just a new thing has come in my direction that I'm fortunate enough to be a part of, and just, like you said, kind of relights the fire, and which that always trickles throughout the rest, the other aspects of my life. When I'm, that's not the where I get all of my, you know, passion and
satisfaction.
Yeah, I mean, obviously my wife and kids are a huge part of that at this point in my life, but
you can't get no satisfaction or all of your satisfaction from.
I can't get no satisfaction if I don't have no satisfaction at work.
And your family supports you. If everything, because, you know, some people are trying to pursue their passion, and then they've got all these other things in their personal life that are getting a little chaotic. I'm sure that happens to people sometimes, and it just really makes it doubly hard in a creative career.
You know, and my family, they obviously support me, and both of my parents and my brother are both in a similar field. My brother, especially, you know, he's worked in the Atlanta film industry for, you know, over 10 years. And both of my parents are commercial photographers. But, you know, like, my wife is a nurse practitioner at a children's hospital. And she only, her only knowledge of the production industry is through me. So it's really hard for her to truly understand what my day-to-day is like, or even when I'm on set, like, she does not have a good understanding of that. But that doesn't stop her from supporting me. And my kids think it's super cool sometimes. I'll involve them at some point, you know, like, they're little kids and we need little kids sometimes for things. So
how do you do when you guys go on a family vacation and you put the work to the side? Are the wheels always spinning, or are you okay sometimes where you just say, all right, for a week, I'm not going to think about this. I'm not going to open up anything on the laptop. I'm checking out. Or are you always kind of restlessly thinking about,
you know, I'm really good at not paying attention. Now, by paying attention, the one thing I will do is just like click on all my emails and stuff, just so that they're not like unread emails. That's like a personal tick of mine, that like, if there was 1,000 unread emails, it would give me some sort of anxiety. But I'm not reading into them much or responding to anything. So usually I'm pretty good at checking out, and I'm not really involved in social media all that much either.
Mm-hmm.
So that doesn't suck up a lot of my time. I pay attention to it, but I don't really like engage or
it's good
contribute, you know, from a personal standpoint. You know, I do have to, you know, for my job sometimes, but
you know what I wish? I think almost there would be so much backlash to this, but I really wish that the social media platforms could just put a, like, when you scroll and you've been waving your hand and your finger about 47 times in a row, and then you just reach this point where it says, that's it. That is the end for today, mister. We'll see you tomorrow. You've reached all the
algorithm
content, and there's no more scrolling. So get off
your
of
logs.
You're going to have to go over to Instagram now. You're going to have to go to Facebook because you've already reached the end. I don't like that there's no end. Yeah. Oh, I mean, you know, TV, if you want to sit around and watch TV.
You've reached your limit for today. You've reached your time limit to access another, you know, hour of additional scroll time. You have to, you know, you have to read these 4 chapters of this ebook that might better your life somehow. And then we'll grant you the access. And then answer this short quiz about what you read.
Yeah, I have to stop myself. I'm trying to get better, of reading books. And
yeah, that's hard with little kids too. Some people are good at it, and that having little kids doesn't hinder that. But I don't know about you. It does for me. I struggle with focusing to read.
Oh, it's almost impossible until about 9:30, close to 10 o'clock at night. Well, John, this will probably, and I want to say congratulations, John, because this is going to be a part one and part two. So
All right. You're
going to be taking up a lot of Dan time here, and they're going to run back to back. And this is a good thing. You've broken the record. This is the most far-ranging episode. I have had so much fun. I've always wanted to hit this mark, and we've done it. I can't believe it. And it makes sense. We're two old friends. Before you called me a few weeks ago, a couple months ago, we hadn't had a phone call, I don't think, other than, hey, where are you guys going to be later? That kind of question in 2007 or something. But so, no wonder.
A lot of catching up to be done. It was really nice. I appreciate it. And I've just enjoyed a good conversation. And I think you're a good facilitator of that. So it's been great.
Well, hope this episode has been fun for everybody who listens to the show. And I know there are some people that know John and know me, and hopefully it's been a special treat for you too. And we're going to have to do another one, John, because this is just, it's been a long conversation, but for me, it's not long enough. I joke sometimes about, we've been talking for a couple hours. I've told people before, I want to talk another hour, but we got to go. And this has been a dream come true.
Oh, me too. Love to do it again, Daniel.
All right. Well, gosh, I usually have another random question or two. How about just something really pretty basic here? When it comes down to breakfast, lunch, dinner, are you really structured when you wake up in the morning? Do you eat the same breakfast? And then when it's noon on the dot, do you eat your lunch? Or do you just, how do you fuel the John Hunter machine?
I am fairly structured. My answer for lunch is, you know, it's pretty comical. And
is it the
known throughout my office?
Let me guess. The Son of Baconator combo, large with
that is the last thing that it would be. No, breakfast is usually like I'll make a smoothie, keep it pretty simple. And then lunch is almost every day a peanut butter and honey sandwich with a glass of milk.
Mm. Oh my gosh. I
and
love it.
When I say peanut butter, I mean, you know, not like a normal human portion of peanut butter, but maybe like three sandwiches worth of
globs.
Peanut butter.
Oh man, I love it. You and I are going to be great friends. Well, we already are, but
yeah, everyone makes fun of me at work for it.
I haven't done peanut butter and honey, but I do peanut butter and banana.
Oh, I love that too.
It's a good one. Really holds you over.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And what'd you say for dinner? A dinner usually go to.
It's a toss up.
To
dinner
is Red Lobster.
Extremely fortunate to have a wife who thinks about things like dinner and puts a lot of planning and effort into it that does not go unnoticed. I am just not capable of the amount of forethought and planning. So I am eternally grateful, and it's all I can do. Be thankful. And to tell my wife, I see you.
Yes.
And I will someday make it up to you.
What would we do without them?
I have no idea.
What would they do?
I'm gonna do.
What would they do without us?
Wouldn't be good.
They'd do what they had to do. But what would we do without them? We would crumble.
It'd fall into complete chaos.
Yeah. Oh, I love this. I love this stuff. And gosh, we're going to have to save anything else for another episode, which hopefully won't be too far in the future.
Sounds good. I love it.
I love you, man. I've known you since we both were just, I mean, call it 18 months into adolescence.
Yeah, to a grasshopper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just a wonderful guy, wonderful friend, and you've been a terrific Dan Time guest. One last question. I got three Dans here, and who's your favorite? If you had to pick between Dan Aykroyd, Danny DeVito, or Dan Deardorff from Monday Night
Danny
Football?
Danny Bonaducci.
Danny Bonaducci. The list could go on.
It could.
Who do you... Who?
I don't even know Dan Deardorff.
Mm, yeah.
So,
way back in the early... I know him from Monday Night Football when it was a three-guy booth with Al Michaels and Frank Gifford, Al Michaels, and old Dan. All right, enough nonsense.
I'm going to go with Dan Aykroyd.
Oh, wow. All right. Well, this has been great, and all great things have to come to an end. You've got to get back to whatever was happening in your life a couple hours ago. I love you, man, and you guys out there, thanks for listening. Tell a friend about the show. Be good to your friends. Keep up with your friends and follow your dreams. We'll see you next Sunday on the Dan Time Podcast. Thank you, John.
Thanks, Daniel.